nice things about you. How are you all doing today? Good, excellent. Make sure you stick around for the water baptisms at the end. I've got two sons being baptized today. I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I have asked if they could be held down just a little bit longer, just to make sure. But that's all good. All good. No, I'm very excited. But we're going to get into the Word, and I'll try and keep it timely so we can get onto those water baptisms. The title of my message is Be Like Moses, But Not Like Moses. And hopefully that will make sense as we go through. I do feel under a little bit of pressure today because we have been, I've been running the Discipleship Academy 3 weeks on preaching, on how to preach, how to organize a sermon, how to deliver a sermon. And all those people have been attending those classes. They're in the service today and they're judging me. You think they're taking notes about the verses and the scriptures, they're not. They're critiquing me. They're seeing if I actually practice what I preach. The one saving grace that I have is that I'm still yet to mark their assignments. So if they're harsh, I will be harsh. The measure that you use will be measured back to you. It's only scriptural, amen? All right, okay. Moses. This is Moses, by the way. That may not be exactly to scale or how he did appear, but when I typed in Moses into Google, that was one of the images that came up that was free to use. So for the purposes of the service this morning, this is Moses. Moses prayed to God. That's true. We're going to see that. God answered Moses' prayer. Moses saw God. Moses was changed. Be like Moses, but not like Moses. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And we're going to start in Exodus chapter 33, if you're following along at home. Now in Exodus chapter 33, Moses prays a prayer to God. And this is after he's had the burning bush experience. This is after he's seen all the plagues and he's confronted Pharaoh. This is after he's held out his staff and they've passed through the Red Sea. This is even after he's gone up Mount Sinai the first time to get the tablets, and he's come back down and saw the golden calf and he's broken them and all those sorts of things. This is quite a ways along in the journey of Moses, but still Moses has this conversation with God and he has this prayer. He says, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. Well, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. That's a very good start by Moses, I think. Teach me your ways, let me know you. Single men, if you're dating and you're going to get married, it's always good to find out your partner's ways, right? Are they a morning person? Are they an evening person? Do they prefer flowers or chocolates? Those sorts of things. I think if you want to get to know someone, you want to get to know their patterns and their ways. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. And Moses said, now show me your glory. This story starts with a prayer. And it's the prayer that Moses prayed that I just want to dwell on for a few moments. I think it's probably the pinnacle of all prayers that you can pray. There are many things you can pray for, and they're good to pray for. You can pray for world peace. That's not a bad thing. You can pray for your family, absolutely. You can pray that the bills get paid. You can pray for your children, that they'd grow up to know the Lord. You can pray for your unsaved workmates. You can pray for the crime rates in Mackay, that these young people that are committing the crimes, that that somehow we can think of something to turn this around and reach them. You can pray for all sorts of things. You can pray for football scores if you really want to. There's no rules, really, about, you know, certain things you can and can't pray for. You can pray a lot of prayers. But I firmly believe that this prayer that Moses prayed is kind of the prayer almost above all prayers. Because our number one thing in life that we need to do is we need to meet God. We need to know God. We need to see God. We need to see His glory. We really need to meet Him. I firmly believe that if that prayer gets answered, almost all the other prayers will flow from the result of that one prayer. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? That your marriage, your work, your finances, the world will be changed by people who've seen the glory of God, who meet Him and who know Him. Sometimes we're so content in our daily prayers to just get in there, and we've got our list of things that we pray for. And I'm definitely not against asking God for things, because God encourages us to ask God for things, doesn't He? He says, ask of me, keep asking, and I will give. It's actually His pleasure and His joy to provide and to give. So I'm not against asking God for things, but really the main focus of my time with God is not to get things from Him, even though that's nice. My main focus is, God, I want to know You. I want to meet You. I want to know You. Show me who You are. So instead of going in there, you know, trying to learn facts about God or memorize different things about Him, I want to know Him. For all those people at Discipleship Academy, when I said I don't use notes sometimes, it's mainly because I forget that they're in my pocket. Here they are. Got them back now. That should be the main aim of our devotions, to know God. So Moses prays this prayer. He says, show me Your glory. It's a good prayer to pray. I want to encourage you every day when you wake up to have that same attitude and have that same prayer in your heart. God, today, I don't know what happens, whether You're going to give me this or give me that, but above all else, show me who You are. Do you agree with me this morning? It's a great prayer to pray. So God answers Moses' prayer. Isn't that nice? That God listens and He answers his prayer. And this is what God says. He says, and the Lord said, I will cause all of My goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim My name, the Lord, in your presence. And I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But He said, you cannot see My face, for no one may see My face and live. You know, as I read that, a question popped into my mind. I'm not sure that that's the kind of God Moses was expecting to meet up there on the mountain. I mean, the Lord didn't say, I'm going to show you My power. He didn't say, I'm going to show you My holiness. He didn't say, I'm going to show you My awe and My wonder, My strength. He said, you really want to meet Me? Okay, come up on the mountain, you can meet Me. Here's what you're going to find: compassion, you're going to find mercy, you're going to find goodness, you're going to find grace. When you really meet the Lord, that's what you find. When you really encounter Him, that's what you find. It's wonderful that He can create the universe with a click of His fingers. It's mind-blowing. But He's more than that. He's so much more than that. He is compassion, He is goodness, He is mercy and grace. And we can look back now in our culture, and having read all the scriptures and knowing Jesus and the works that He's done, and we can see that. But I'm not sure that that's what's in Moses' mind at the time. It is so hard for us to put ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites. It's thousands of years ago. They know so many different things. They think in so many different ways. They have a different culture, different mindsets, different language. And we sit back here and we read that verse and we just skip over it like, well, yeah, well, of course, that's what God's like. I don't think that's what Moses expected. All the gods back then were harsh. Gods were distant. Gods were fickle. You had to sacrifice and give and cut yourself, and even up to the point where people were sacrificing children and just more and more stuff. And gods weren't nice and kind and gracious. Gods were cruel and mean. And these are the gods they saw in Egypt. They've seen all these things. But this is the moment God says, well, you've heard all the stories and you've seen my power, but come up here if you really want to meet me. I'll show you who I am. I'm kind and I'm gracious and I'm good. Do you believe that this morning? Have you met that God? Is that the God you know? Is that the God you expect to meet every morning? Is that the first thought that you have about him? Or is your first thought about judgment? Or maybe he's disappointed. Or maybe he's angry. Or maybe he's getting ready to punish you for something you did and you haven't repented of. That's not the God that I meet in the scriptures. You know, they say you should never meet your idols. Has anybody ever got to meet someone like really famous that they were like, anyone besides Pastor Rob? Like, you've all met Pastor Rob. You know, I had a chance one time. We had this big famous American speaker come to Townsville, and he did a day full of school visits. And it was my job as the Youth Alive director to organize as many school visits for him as I could in one day. And so if you know what that's like, ringing up these state schools and getting permission to bring a guest speaker in and back to back driving all over the city. And I was really keen to meet this person. I'd seen them speak on stage at these big famous conferences. I'd seen them on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. But I get him in my car and we're driving around with another person there and stopping for lunch. And I got to tell you, I wish I hadn't met that speaker that day. Just not the kind of goodness, gracious, merciful person that I was hoping to meet. And I saw him speak in front of all school students all day, but he was phenomenal, don't get me wrong. And I'm sure God can use us with our flaws and not. But I got to tell you, I went home at the end of that day and thinking, ah, dang it. Ah, well, I will go and just remember that it's God I'm serving and not other people. I am glad to say that that is in the minority of stories. I also got to, another one that comes to mind, I invited a guest speaker who, you know, again, another great guest speaker comes to do a youth camp for me. And I don't know, but when you're like a small little youth group in North Queensland and you're inviting one of these, you know, people that you know, speak to thousands, you're thinking, is he going to want to come and hang out with like 22 of the half-saved kids that I've got in my youth group? So I'm, you know, walking around and all my kids are doing the semi-Christian thing throughout the camp and all that kind of stuff. And I'm laughing it off going, huh, don't worry about them. Don't worry. I'm sure they love Jesus. But I got to tell you, he was the kindest, most gracious, most amazing like person I've ever got to meet. And I would always think, do you want to go back to the hotel? Like you've spoken, do you want? And he's like, nah, man, I want to hang out here. Like, and I just thought, I was blown away. And that is what it is 95% of the time, yeah? But Moses, he's seen all these things God's done. He's had certain encounters. And sometimes you can go behind the mask and meet the real person and it's not what you wanted, yeah? Well, I got to tell you, Moses went up there and it was better than he ever could have dreamed. And when you get to meet God, you can guarantee it's going to be better than you ever would have imagined. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. So Moses sees God. At the end of Exodus 33, the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. That's a pretty interesting way to go about it, right? He says, yes, you can come and see me, but we need to protect you during this whole event, because if you're not protected, it's my my amazingness is going to be overwhelming for you, and you're not going to survive the experience. So he says, there is a place near me where you can stand. And that place is on a rock. That place is on a rock. Now you know about shadows and types. You and I know that that rock is Jesus, amen? There is a place near God where you can stand. There is a way to meet God and be in his presence. That way was made by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stand on that rock, you can stand in his presence and see God. He says, I will put you in that rock, because salvation isn't our work that any of us can boast. Salvation is the gift of God, amen? It's not what I have done. He says, I will put you in the cleft of that rock, and I will cover you with my hand. Hey, I don't know what you feel like coming into the presence of God, whether you're worthy to be there or not. I'm telling you, in Christ, you can stand in the presence of God. You have to trust every single day that he has put you in the cleft of that rock. And it's not your works or your goodness. It's his hand that is covering you and securing you in that place. You with me today? Amen. So Moses gets to see God. And Moses was changed. Moses was changed. Because in the next chapter we find, after this experience in the presence of God, it says, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Two things happened to Moses because he met Jesus. Number one, he now has the law in his hands. What does that mean? It means that when you encounter Christ, there's a new ability in you to walk in holiness. There's a new ability in you to fulfill his commands. There's a new ability to please him and to do the right thing. You see, you and I, we're born with something called the sinful nature. We're born with a proclivity to sin. You don't have to teach a child how to chuck a tantrum. It just comes naturally, amen? Amen, all the parents say yes. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. You don't have to teach them how to say mine or how to say no, as Pastor Rob spoke last week. It just comes naturally. And that foolishness is bound up in the heart of us all. Even Paul said, there are things I want to do, but I can't do. And there are things I don't want to do, and those are the things that I do. The flesh is up there every day. I have to crucify it in Christ. But I'm going to tell you, when you meet God, those things in your life that you've been trying to work on and change, those things, something happens in the presence of God where a new ability that is God-given comes into your life where you can now do the right thing, a new desire to please him, a new holiness. That's how you can tell when someone's actually met God. The proof of a meeting with God is not, you know, falling over under the presence, it's change. What's the good of falling over under the presence and laughing and crying? The proof is change. That is how you know somebody has met God. They were like this, now they're like that. They used to do these things, but now they've changed and they do those things. Amen? Amen. I don't change and do those things so that I can meet God. I change and do those things because I have met God, and he has put that ability in my heart to do those things. You with me? And the second thing it says is that he radiated the glory of God. It says his face shone. His face shone. Have you ever seen someone have like a miraculous, like amazing conversion experience with God? You reckon, do they walk around with the biggest frown and sadness on their face? Do you ever see someone, yeah, I met Jesus. I go to church every Sunday. You should come and be like me. You're like, I might pass. No, there's a glory that shines, yeah? There is a joy, a happiness. You reflect the God that you've met. Yes? Your life becomes a walking testimony. People see what's on you and what's happened to you and the change in your demeanor, the change in your spirit. What used to come out of you was bitterness and unforgiveness and judgment, but now what's flowing out of you is grace and forgiveness and happiness and encouragement. You hear what I'm saying? You can just hear the different sound. You can taste the different flavor. There's a new smell. There's new, something new going on. There's a glory. I feel like I'm preaching to myself here today. There are people here. This excellent. Good. All right. Excellent. Sometimes I just have to elicit a little bit of feedback. The lights are in my eyes. Okay. All good. Doesn't matter. Lisa will tell me it was okay when I go home. So that's all I need. So Moses prayed. God answered Moses' prayer. Moses saw God. Moses was changed. You and I should be like Moses. Do you agree with that so far? But I'm here to tell you this morning, we should be like Moses, but there's something even better for you and I. I want to take you to a verse in the New Testament. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it is the Apostle Paul talking about this very experience that Moses had. And I want you to see what he says. He says, "We are not like Moses." Let me say that again. "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what?" The end of what was passing away. You know, I read that verse and I had a little light bulb moment because I had always thought that Moses put the veil on his face because everybody was freaking out. You know what I'm saying? Like if you saw someone whose face was like on fire, kind of shining, you'd go, "Whoa," yeah? And I thought he'd done that because everyone was scared. They were like, "Don't come near us, it's weird." Does anybody else think the same thing? But that's not what Paul says. He didn't say he put it on the veil because people were freaking out. He says he put the veil over his face to prevent people from seeing what was passing away. You see, Moses would go into the, he had this encounter and it said he'd go and pray and his face would shine, but it wouldn't last. It faded. When they buried Moses, his face wasn't still shining. It was just a face like yours and mine. It faded away. He says, "But their minds were made dull. For this, to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Here's why you and I are not like Moses. Because there was a consistent little theme running through this encounter. It was mentioned a couple of times, but I didn't really dwell on it. God kept saying to Moses, "I'll show you the back. You can come and meet me, but I won't let you see my face. No one can see my face and live." And so we had this whole episode with Moses going into a rock. Moses meets him, his face shines, but it fades. You see, Moses didn't get to see what you and I get to see, what is available to you and us. Because that rock that he stood on, it was a shadow of what was to come. It wasn't what had come. It was still just a rock. It represented Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? You and I, we get to see more than Moses saw. We get an encounter with a fuller glory of God because we're not standing on a shadow or a representation. You and I get to stand in the real risen Christ. And so the glory that we see is not one that fades. The glory that shines through us is not one that fades, but Paul says what actually happens is we are transformed into ever-increasing glory. Ever-increasing glory. What does that mean? That means that however you are today is the worst. Tomorrow, because you know God and you're meeting God, is going to be better and better and better. And the day after that is better and better. More glory, increasing glory. Now, that doesn't mean my external circumstances don't go like this, right? It's not about I'm never going to have an obstacle again. I'm never going to be persecuted again. It's not like that. It's who he's making me, right? It's what he's transforming me into. It's not that my life, from your viewpoint, just goes like this. It's who he's making me into. It's the glory that I'm seeing and I'm becoming goes like this, 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 this. You see, our journey in Christ is not one of up and down, up and down. And oh, geez, I hope when he comes back on one of the upswings, yeah? No, the journey in Christ is from glory to glory. It means whatever you've seen of God so far, there's more for you to encounter. Whatever glory you've seen, how much you know, there's more to know. There's more to see. He has more for you. And as he reveals more, you become more. Because what you behold, you become. And what you fixate upon, you are transformed into. And in Christ, he's not just content to show you the back or the little, but God says in him, the fullness of God is revealed. Are you with me this morning? In him, the fullness of God is revealed. Do we have a worship team in the house today? It'd be great if we did. Excellent. Hey, if you're getting baptized and you need to go and get changed, you can do so now-ish. That'd be cool. And because we're going to get into that in just a moment. But I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you a seeker of the glory of God? Is that what you get up every morning hoping to find? There is so much more available to you sometimes than we expect or that we even seek. And we can get so bogged down in the issues of life and the struggles that we have, the answers that we need, and sometimes we do need answers, yeah? But those things are temporal. One day you're up, another day you're down. One day things are going your way, but the roundabout always swings, yeah? Who knows what's going on the next day? But in your walk with God, there is something that supersedes all those things. In Christ, a way has been made for you into his presence, where he just wants to show you who he is. He's not here to show you condemnation. He's not here to show you his judgment. He's not here to show you his anger. What he's here to show you is his compassion and his mercy and his goodness and his grace. And as you find those things, as you really meet him, as you really see his face, those things are going to come in and they're going to do the work in your heart that you've been so desperately longing for, so desperately needed. And from that encounter, you're going to have his holiness, not just in your hands like Moses, because that's the old covenant, but God says in the new covenant, the laws are written on our heart. Amen? And those things that you struggle with, they're going to change. Those people you've found it difficult to forgive, it's going to happen. The generosity that you wish you had, you're going to find it out of an encounter with Him. There's my alarm. And you're going to not just have that in your heart, but you're going to have a glory that radiates from you. I mean, let's be honest, you and I, we can tell when people have that vibrant encounter with God, when they have that alive relationship with Him. There's just something different. There's something fresh. You can tell something's going on in their heart. Some people try and fake it. Some people try and say all the right things and do all the right things, but you just can't counterfeit it. Yeah? You can't. A real encounter with God, it shines. So this morning, we're going to just sing for a moment as our baptism candidates get changed. But I want to encourage you today. As we just sing for a moment, I want you to take a moment just to, don't worry about what else is going on and forget about all your problems. I want you to stand up in just a moment. We're going to sing and I want you to be in His presence and say, God, I'm just here to meet You. I'm just here to know You. If You did it for Moses, who wasn't in Christ, how much more can You do for me today? Not based on how good I've been, but based on the absolute supremacy and perfection of His work. I come into Your house, I come into Your presence. Show me who You are. Show me who You are. Let all other things become dim this morning as I get to see and I get to meet You. Why don't you stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are our rock. And we stand on You this morning. We stand on Your completed work. We thank You that by Your Spirit, You carry us. You carry us into an encounter with a living God. We ask today, Lord, for all the wrong mindsets, the misconceptions we have of You, Lord, for those things to be broken, for those things to be swept away, for those things to be changed. Just like Moses, who may not have met the God he expected today, God, we pray You do the same for us. Lord, that You'd subvert our expectations. You'd show us who You are.